Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums. Last week we did talk about serums.
We did.
Mm-hmm. And it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
We should do more serum chats.
We should. Well, I mean, I just didn't want people to think that we actually don't talk about serums, because we do talk about serums.
We do. We like serums. I actually, after that episode, I started to bring back serums into my nighttime routine.
Oh.
I was like, what am I doing? I have all these serums. I should be using them. But we'll get to that later, because I did a whole thing.
I can't wait to hear about it.
I did a whole thing. I mean, maybe we'll get to it now.
Yeah. Why don't you start talking about it?
Should I just go for it?
Yeah, because I'm curious about what you've been up to.
Well, I had a little bit of a meltdown. I was feeling cluttered by all the products I had accumulated in my bathroom. Mm-hmm. As listeners might recall, I bought a spinny thing, which is its official name, to put all my products on. But then they were overflowing off of that onto the counter. I had my travel thing that I had not unpacked from my recent trip to Philadelphia. So that was just sitting in, it was like overflowing with stuff.
Right.
And I decided to do what I have done with my children and their toys, which is that you rotate. Like, oftentimes what happens is your kids have tons of toys. They're all in a mess everywhere, and they're not even able to play with them because they can't even see them. They just have so much stuff. This is a theory. This is not necessarily what my kids' life is like. But people suggest you box up a bunch of their toys, put them away, leave out certain toys for them to play with, and then you can rotate in the toys that were boxed so they feel new and fresh again, and your children can actually use them.
I should do that with my husband's guitars.
Do it with his guitars, because have approximately 22.
Oh, more than
no
that.
Way, really?
Oh, Kate. This is a topic for another time.
guitars are his self-care.
Yeah. Or his downfall.
Literally, they're going to fall on him because he has so many. So I decided to box up most of the products in my bathroom. I put them in a shoebox that my husband had just sitting in our bedroom. I don't know what he was going to do with it, but I'd used it. Probably nothing. I'm starting to sit there.
What if tomorrow he was like, hey, have you seen that shoebox?
And I'm like, no. Nope. Don't look in the closet, nor should you open it and see all the products inside. So I used that and I filled it up with a ton of stuff. Not as much as I would like. This was the depressing. When I first came up with this purge plan, I was just like, I'll have one face wash, one moisturizer, you know, and then of course I have like three daytime moisturizers that I'm playing with.
So you selected the things you wanted to keep.
Yes.
And then you said, okay, I'm going to put everything else in this shoebox.
Everything else.
Okay.
Because I have accumulated a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And part of it is that people have very generously given us some things because of the podcast.
Yep.
So I'll have all these, you know, have all these cool things. I mean, this is, again, what a problem to be complaining about. Oh, I have a cool toner someone gave me. I mean, I realize, shut up me. But also it's shit that I keep buying.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, even before I started this podcast, I had a lot of stuff, especially samples that had just kind of accumulated.
Yeah.
Or things I had used a couple times and been like, but hadn't like done anything with them. So I think this is a more universal problem.
It is. And I also feel like one thing that is something I would like to work on, is this feeling I get where I just need to find the right thing and then everything will be solved. Mm. I just need to find the right pair of jeans and then that's going to like solve whatever jean crisis slash like, you know, looking at myself in the mirror crisis I'm feeling. Or like, right. you know that feeling where you're always on the quest for the right, quote unquote.
But I got to tell you, do you see this denim jacket that I'm
wearing? Yeah, it's great.
So I had been on a quest to find the perfect denim jacket. Like, I've owned several denim jackets over the course of my life, but none of them has ever been perfect because I realized I was always like too cheap to buy like the really good one that I wanted. I was too cheap to buy the one that I really wanted. So I would always buy ones that were like slightly off and then I just didn't like them. And then I saw this one and I was like, that jacket is perfect. It's a little more than I want to spend, but I'm going to get it. And you know what? I'm really happy with it. So just putting that out there.
Where is this jean jacket from?
It's from Madewell.
I was going to say, God damn it. Because you know, I went there the other day and I didn't try on the jean jacket.
I believe it is called the perfect jean jacket.
Fucking A. Should I go there tonight?
I mean, if you get this one, I recommend sizing up.
Okay. It looked, the one reason I didn't try it on, and I have a Target jean jacket that's loose and very light that I'm pretty happy with, mm-hmm. but it doesn't give me like a form-fitted, sexy jean jacket. You know what I mean? Like, sure. If I wanted to pair it with a dress, this conversation has turned, but I'm okay with it. And I liked the look of that Madewell one, but it felt like a heavy denim. Am I right in that
assessment?
Well,
you can try it on after the show.
The fashion show will begin.
Wait, but just to go back to your shoebox, how long are you going to keep these products
What I was going to do is just see how the things that I've kept out work for me. Because sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like I don't even know if a product works because I'm like, oh, I'll be using this today and then I'll go over here and try this thing.
Right.
And also, you know, I don't have deep needs. My biggest like skin need is anti-aging and sun protection.
Yeah, you have great skin.
Oh, I have the best skin. I don't have, aside from the zit that's healing on my chin, I don't have rosacea. I don't have like a situation on my skin.
And also like we live in Los Angeles, which I feel like is pretty kind to skin.
The weather is good here. We don't have a really dry, cold winter.
We don't have a lot of humidity.
Yeah. We're very fortunate.
Yeah. Like my skin is definitely better in LA than it was on the East Coast.
Yeah, that could be it. So I just kept out certain products that I like using right now. And I tried to put everything else away and also I feel like then I'll know if I'm really missing something. Like if I'm like,
totally.
Now I did put the Pixie Glow toner in the box. And then I took it out. And then I took it out. I couldn't commit.
Okay.
I couldn't commit. But I can tell you what I have, like 2 day moisturizers, a night oil, and my La Mer cream. I've kept 2 face washes. Well, 3. There's an Acure in my shower. Mm. Which I like, except that the Acure smells like kitchen cleaning solution. Anyway, this has gone on. I've rambled here, Dory.
Fine.
So anyway, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to narrow down my products. I put them back on the spinny thing. The spinny thing is now very empty and sleek looking.
Ooh, I like that.
And that felt good.
Great.
I can see things. And I'm going to give that a whirl, literally.
Literally
give it a whirl. Boy, I apologize. I kind of just dumped a lot of information there.
No, don't apologize.
How was your birthday?
Kate, I got to tell you, my birthday was kind of great.
You did amazing things for your birthday that was all in line with self-care.
Yeah, and I wasn't really expecting my birthday to be great. Like, I was expecting it to be
fine. You had some mixed feelings about it.
I had some mixed feelings about it. I was kind of, not dreading it, but I wasn't that excited about it. I switched like where we were going to eat dinner like 3 times. Like, I was just having a lot of sort of general anxiety about it. The day kicked off with breakfast with a friend.
Fun.
And that was lovely. And then I went to an appointment with my infertility doctor.
Just how you want to spend your birthday.
The best way to spend your birthday. But it was actually a pretty good appointment. And we got some like relatively hopeful good news. So that was like a good, like, I think if that had been a bad appointment, I would have been like,
oh God, yeah.
Why did I do that? But that was good. And then Matt and I went to the Container Store. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more on a future episode. So I don't want to say too much.
But let's just say your kitchen looks
but
dope.
Let's just say, and like my husband really stepped up with
go
the kitchen
Matt,
stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And from there, we went to Guitar Center. Now you all may be thinking, wait a second.
You just ragged on your husband's guitar collection.
But we went to the section of the store with the keyboards.
And you bought yourself a digital piano.
Well, he bought
it. Okay, yes. I'm sorry. That's right.
It was my birthday.
It was your birthday present.
But he was very adamant, and I'm glad he insisted on this. He was like, I want to go and try them out. Like, I want you to go there and try them out. So you know exactly which one you want to get.
Yeah. And did you find one that...
I found one that I really like, and it's a... Yes?
I also should clarify, I always raise my hand when we're doing this podcast. And it's very not, it's not conducive for podcasting.
No.
Nobody else can see that I'm
no,
raising
it's
my
true.
Hand. I apologize for interrupting. Do you know how to play piano?
Oh, yes. I took piano for like 6 years.
Okay. Okay.
As a child.
Okay. I'm sorry. We had never said like what your relationship
was to
piano.
Yeah. So I took piano lessons for probably about 6 years. I spent Saturdays at the New England Conservatory of Music taking like music theory and choir and piano lessons. Like it was a whole program.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I did. And then I stopped enjoying it. And that was when I, you know, when I got to be like kind of a teen, I was like, I'm too cool for this.
And you were.
Which of course I regret.
Of course.
But whatever. And so... Yeah, we had been talking about possibly getting a piano. We don't have room for an actual piano, but we realized that we could fit a digital piano in my office. And the neat thing these days about digital pianos is that they actually have weighted keys. So it feels like you're playing a piano. It doesn't feel like you're playing like a rinky-dink Casio keyboard.
That's cool.
So it was very cool.
Have you jammed out on it
Oh,
yet?
I sure have.
Oh, wow.
And it's really fun. I downloaded some sheet music. I also bought a book of easy piano songs to play.
What's an example of an easy piano song? Like Row, Row, Row Your Boat? Or is it more like an easy list, like a pop
like
song?
Sam Cooke, You Send Me.
Oh.
It's easy. It's 50 songs from across the decades.
It sounds
so
perfect
it also
for your...
has like a Meghan Trainor song.
Oh God. Here's a question.
Yes.
Have you started playing Broadway show tunes on your piano?
Well, Kate.
Yes.
I downloaded the sheet music for Wig in a Box from Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
God, that's a great song.
Which is like the best song. And I'm you know, stuttering my way through it.
That's awesome.
So that's been fun. Yeah.
Is there a self-care / stress relief / self-soothing element to
yes,
this piano
I've been,
playing?
Yeah. Like, I mean, okay, granted, my birthday was Wednesday. Today is Friday. So it's been 2 days.
48 hours.
But like I went to a thing last night and I got home and then I just like played piano for an hour.
That's awesome. My husband bought himself a digital keyboard last year and he plays
yeah, you know,
it.
When you were in the house, I took a peek.
Did you take a look at
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was one. It was like my runner up, actually.
Oh,
I almost bought that one.
We almost made it.
Yeah.
But he plays. He's been teaching himself how to play, and it's very therapeutic for him.
Yes, I had to like tear myself away. I was like, oh, it's time for bed. I need to stop playing the piano.
Stop rocking out.
There's also the piano I got. It's a Roland, and there's an app that I downloaded onto my iPad that has some music. And then it also has, you know, the pianos now have Bluetooth. So
yeah, this
like,
is not the
crazy.
Pianos that we grew
no,
up with.
No, but like there's all these things you can do to like, there's all these exercises and it teaches you, you know, cause like I remember how to read music, but I'm a little rusty. Like I haven't
sure.
played in over 25 years. So, but they had a couple of I only played classical piano when I was growing up, and they had a couple of tunes that I used to play.
Wow.
So that was fun. I was like, oh, I played this.
I think a really cool thing that I see people doing as adults is picking up the thing that they had done as a kid that for whatever reason they stopped. Like I started horseback riding again a little bit last year, which was the love of my life as a kid.
Yeah.
And like my husband loves music. He had never taken, maybe he had, I can't remember, but he's, you know, teaching himself the piano. Like there is that space now as an adult to
totally
reappreciate a thing that you maybe wasn't fun for you as a kid, but that you liked.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even I never took Broadway dance as a kid, but I did take ballet and jazz dance for like 6 years, 6 or 7 years, like as a kid. So that was definitely like a thing that was part of my life. Yeah. So that's all been exciting, but you know, please call us and let us know if you have taken up things that you did as a child.
Yeah, I would be curious. I mean, I am not yet playing the clarinet, but if you are, leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, it's 781-591-0390. And you can also email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can also gram us at Forever35Podcast or tweet us at Forever35Pod.
And just a reminder that everything we mention product-wise is always on our website, Forever35Podcast.com. And on our website, you can also sign up for our newsletter. We have our next issue going out the first week of June. And as always, there is going to be an amazing giveaway. And if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend.
I think it's time for a little break.
Yep. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. I am the first to admit that gift giving is not easy for everyone. It's taken me a long time to become like a halfway decent gift giver. But what I have learned is that the best way to win the gift giving game is to gift memories.
Ooh.
Yes. And you know how you do that, Kate?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
The Aura digital frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
We have gifted this to many people.
And when you gift this, your family will love looking back on childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating the frame with new photos. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving. It's super easy to set up. It takes literally 2 minutes. You download the app, you set up the Wi-Fi.
Boom.
You're good to go.
Yep.
We have given this to my parents. We've given this to Matt's parents.
Mm-hmm. Same.
It's so easy because you can add photos from the app like anytime you want. And also, like, my brother has the app, so he can add photos from his family. My sister has the app, so she can add photos. My parents also have it, so they also add their own photos.
That is one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Aura Frame, is that everybody can contribute.
Yes.
I love that about. We have two Aura frames in our house. I have one in my office and and one in our family room. And my kids love it.
Do they have the same pictures on them?
No, they have different pictures.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe I should get one from my office.
I'm looking at a picture of my children right now.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Putting that away for later.
Store that.
Yes. The Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is what many other digital frames require. And also then you're not taking up your email storage. So win-win. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Forever 35 listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Forever35 at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Now, look, both Dory and I love our Quince items.
You might even call us Quince heads.
You might. I would say you should. In fact, if you don't address us as such, we might get upset. In all seriousness, I have a variety of clothing from Quince, everything from a beautiful cashmere sweater to a very simple, easy white tee to this gorgeous pink summer dress. You can really like get your whole wardrobe filled with quality pieces at really reasonable prices. You can get organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. They even have timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, which I want. Just going to announce that here. I'm coming for that jewelry.
You're putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middle people and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35.
Okay, we're back, and we are going to talk about our 2-month intentions exploration.
Yeah, we're not going to call it a challenge. No. Challenge feels like it kind of sets you up either for success or failure, and that's not what this is about.
No.
We're exploring where we want to be in 2 months. This is something your husband asked you recently, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It
is. Very introspective.
And it was an interesting question that I had trouble answering. And listen, if you guys want to play along,
do it.
And we're going to use the hashtag Forever35Intentions.
Yeah.
So you can use that on Instagram or Twitter, and I guess on Facebook too.
Yeah. Facebook will accept a hashtag.
We'd love to know what your intentions are, or intentions are as well.
And this is a 2-month, basically the question that you were posed was, where do you envision yourself in 2 months?
Yeah.
And how have you thought about that, Dory? Like, what, when you actually kind of dug in,
well,
how did you approach it?
Well, so, you know, people very kindly have been asking if I'm working on another book. And my answer lately has been like,
yeah.
It's been like, I've come up with a bunch of ideas. I've sort of started working on some of them, but not really. And I think in 2 months, I would like to have a clear idea of what my next book is going to be.
A vision.
Like, I don't have to have it. I'm not trying to have it done, or even, I don't even know if I'll have like pages written, but I feel like I've been sort of like scattered, and I'll be like, oh, this is an idea. And I'll like make some notes on my phone and then like sit down at the computer and try to write some stuff. But I feel like there's no structure around it. And maybe in the past that would have been okay. But right now I'm feeling like I need to be more intentional.
So when we come back and revisit this conversation in 2 months,
yes,
in July, will you please bring to the table as your accountability buddy?
Yes.
Bring a 3-sentence blurb about what this thing is that you're creating.
Kate, I would love to do that.
Great. We're going to maybe set some deliverables.
I love a deliverable.
You are very task oriented.
I am task oriented.
You're very good at that. Yeah.
If you give me a task, I will probably do it.
You'll complete it. I'll forget it. Maybe.
No, I don't think you will.
So that's your big kind of professional focus for the next 2 months?
I think that's my professional focus for the next 2 months. You know, it's been interesting because I've been, I left BuzzFeed almost exactly 3 months ago. But my husband has also been on hiatus for pretty much almost the entire time I've been out of work.
And for people who don't work in the TV industry, hiatus is basically just a time where a TV show is not in production.
Right.
So it's like a summer break for school.
It's like an unpaid summer break.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But he goes back to work very soon. And so I do think that my daily routine is going to shift a little bit when he goes back to work. And I'm curious to see I want to be a little bit more intentional about like how I structure my days. Like I had started out with a very clear-ish idea of like almost like hour by hour how I was going to break down my days now that I don't have a full-time job that I go to an office for. And I did that for a little while, and then it's just kind of completely fallen off. But I feel like it's all part of, like, it's related to my intention, because part of what I was going to do every day was like write. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I had a clear idea of what I was supposed to be writing.
So you can just kind of flounder.
So I was floundering. Yeah. I felt floundering. And I think now I'm getting to a point where I can really figure out, like, not just what my days look like, but like, what do I want my life to look like? And also, like, you know, our podcast has obviously become a huge part of that. And,
yeah,
you know, you and I have talked about how in July we're going to sit down and talk about our long-term ideas for the podcast.
State of the pod meeting.
So, yeah. So I think it's going to be a good summer.
I can't wait to hear more about what you're working on and to see what you kind of show up with.
Thank you, Kate. What about you?
Okay. So in thinking about 2 months, which is not a lot of time.
No, it's not.
There's not much you can accomplish in 2 months.
No.
I mean, yes, other people could, but you know what I mean? 2 months, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, feels short.
Except, like we have, sorry to interrupt.
No, get in there.
But like we have discussed, you can, if you are working on something, you can get stuff done if you only do like half an hour a day.
Yes, if you put your mind to it.
If you put your mind to it. So although
and break things down, and break into, things manageable down
into manageable pieces. Yeah. So although 2 months doesn't seem like a long time, I feel like we could actually kind of make some headway here.
No, we could accomplish a lot.
Yeah.
Here's how I approach this. I focused on themes.
Ooh, I like
And I just
this.
Kind of was coming up with some words of like how I wanted the next 2 months of my life to go. And here they are.
Okay.
Calm. Grounded.
Yes.
Quiet.
Oh, okay.
Thoughtful.
Yeah.
And then routine.
These are great words.
They felt good. In the next 2 months, I'll have my birthday.
Yes.
I'm going to turn 39. I wrote when I was writing this down, I wrote, I'll have passed my 35th birthday. And I was like, oh no, Kate, 39. I'll be turning 39. I want to set up a manageable daily routine where I wrote, I have felt unhinged and untethered for a while.
Mm.
That since this year started, I just have felt like I'm carrying something that's too heavy, but I can't put it. So I'm just kind of like always.
Yep.
struggling.
Yeah.
And I would really like to release that. I'm using every, I sound like I'm in therapy right now, but that's what I would really like to kind of let go of that feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping just talking about it and setting that as kind of a goal will help me accomplish it. And, you know, part of mine is also related to professional stuff because mm-hmm. I'm also working on another book as a writer and I just completely I let go of an old idea and welcomed in a new one. I mm-hmm. ushered in a new idea mm-hmm. that now I need to really sit down with and be like, how am I going to execute this?
Yeah.
And how am I going to do it and not get discouraged and actually follow through on
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Because as a creative person, I tend to get very discouraged easily and just give up and come up with a new idea. And then I just
yep.
flounder. Just again, floundering
in there.
Is the theme of the day. So, you know, I would really just like to have some like, just feel calm.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm really craving. And I also lately have felt like really unmotivated to do anything. Like the past 2 weeks, I could barely bring myself to cook dinner for my family and I.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've just been like making chicken nuggets every night for my kids and then just kind of like picking through the refrigerator for myself.
Mm.
And I just haven't felt like, I just have felt really blah.
Kate, you know what?
Yes.
Sounds like you need a vacation.
Thank God I am going on one in 2 days. I'm very excited about having some time with just my husband.
Yeah,
and
that's
actually,
so
yeah, we
nice.
Have never really had that. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. And then hopefully when I get back, the challenging thing as a parent with kids is that summer can surprisingly be a grind.
Mm.
It's a different schedule. You're driving to camps. I've got two kids going to two different camps and the schedules are different. You know, it can be a little yep. bit of a, and sometimes they're home when they're not at camp, they're going to be home and I've yep. got to still figure out how I'm going to get work done. You know, it's just a thing. These are blessed problems to have.
Sure.
I love my kids. I'm happy to do it. But, you know, it still just is like, how do I then find time for me to stay calm and grounded amidst the chaos of my life? I don't know the answer, but I'm going to figure it out
well,
by the middle of July.
I look forward to hearing more. And what could your deliverable to me be?
I actually would like, could I give you like a book deliverable?
Yes.
Like, could I say I'm going to have written, let's say what, 5,000 words, 10,000 words?
Let's do 5,000.
Okay. Let's keep it low.
Yeah. Let's keep it low and manageable. Yeah.
5,000. I'm going to have 5,000 words of this new thing that I want to be the next thing I bring into the world written, and I will hand it to you when we record this in exactly 2 months.
I can't wait.
Listeners, join us.
Yes, please join us. Hashtag Forever 35 intentions.
Yeah. And it can be literally anything. We are obviously coming to this as from our own careers and yep. our own lives, but it can be anything. It can literally be just like, I want to have a glass of water a day and
yeah.
have drink more water. I mean, who knows?
Totally.
But just think about what you want the next 2 months of your life to look like.
Yeah.
Maybe it's watch The Bachelor every Monday night. That's also one of my intentions. Not spoil The Bachelorette for myself this season.
All right.
Okay. That's also a 2 month thing.
Well, I think we're going to take another quick break.
Let's do it.
And now it's time to hear from our guest, Emily Gould. Today we have author Emily Gould with us. Hello, Emily.
Hey, guys. Hi. I'm so excited.
We are so glad to have you. I'm just going to read this bio that I copied and pasted from your website.
Do it.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Oh, EmilyGould.com. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is such a lovely website.
If you need a new website, I can hook you up with great recommendations.
Okay. Great. So Emily is the author of And the Heart Says Whatever, which is a book of essays, Friendship, which is a novel, and the forthcoming Perfect Tunes, which is another novel.
Mm-hmm.
With Ruth Curry, she runs Emily Books, which sells and publishes books by women as an imprint of Coffee House Press. She is a contributor to Book Forum and The Cut, and she teaches writing in New York City, where she lives with her family. Welcome.
Yay. It's so thrilling to be here with my favorite podcast.
We should also add to her bio, active member of the Forever 35 Facebook group and community.
Indeed.
I have a very popular post on there about how my almost three-year-old smashed my bottle of good cheese.
Yes, that was an early and really
traumatic.
Relatable.
I meet strangers who want to like give me condolences about that on a fairly regular basis.
That is
like, it's okay. I scraped most of it off the floor and I put it in a spice jar, and it might have some glass shards in it, but it's fine.
But you know what? The glass shards just make the stuff go into your skin faster.
It's exfoliating. It's like a vampire facial.
It is. DIY.
Yeah, great.
I really think it's fine, guys.
I'll have to try that sometime.
In the moment when that happened, did you panic?
It's weird. I don't usually get upset about objects, but yeah, it was a rough one. That was tough. I think also because Rafi, my son, has been on such a like tour of destruction lately, just breaking things that matter to me.
Oh,
like I got all these cute, what is that brand of ceramics that people get for their wedding? Yep. I got all these ceramics from when I got married, and he's been like systematically destroying them.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like a little sugar bowl and stuff. And it's just like, I mean, you have to really practice non-attachment to the material when you have a toddler.
And that's hard.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what are you supposed to do though? You could either like replace everything with plastic and like live in a kindergarten, or just reconcile yourself to all of your stuff getting broken.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, have you ever lost a really sentimental item?
I've never owned a really sentimental item. I think if I lost, I'm not wearing it. what happened to it? I have a ring for my great grandmother, and I think if I ever lost that, I would be pretty bummed. But other than that, I don't own anything that I care about.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's the way to live.
Yeah. So for the benefit of those listening who don't know you and your son is two, almost three.
He'll be three in June. Yeah.
Right, and you're pregnant.
Super pregnant. Yep, enormously. I was telling Dory earlier. I actually just got a little, not a lecture, but just sort of a gentle chiding from my midwives about how I've gained enough weight and I get to sort of slow my roll now.
The weight gain during pregnancy, I gained more than you're quote unquote supposed to. How are you supposed to slow it down? It's a person growing inside of you.
Dude, I don't know.
It's not like you're eating a stack of waffles at every meal. You're just literally growing a person. There's no
and an organ and a bunch of goop.
Yeah.
So much goop. That's what Gwyneth Paltrow named her website after, the stuff inside you. Well, I think you look great.
Yeah. And it's great to see you in Los Angeles.
Just every minute that I'm here is like being on a million of the best drugs.
So Emily, as you know, as a faithful listener to Forever 35.
I would say obsessed.
An obsessive listener. Thank you. The thing that we always ask our guests is, what is a self-care routine that brings you joy, calm? Oh, you were looking at me with a real look of panic right now.
Oh, I mean, I just don't have anything that's like that special or different, I don't think, than everyone else's stuff.
I don't know if this is one for you, but one thing I used to love was your food blog.
Oh, yeah. My relationship with cooking has really evolved since I first had a food blog at the dawn of Tumblr.
It's changed?
Well, I was diagnosed with celiac.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I started cooking more at home out of just necessity.
Yeah.
And then I also had a child and had to do a lot of like survival cooking mm-hmm. rather than like fun hobbyistic cooking. So for a while, the fun hobbyistic cooking did really completely go out the window, but I'm starting to get it back. And the thing that really helps me is my cookbook club.
Wait a second. How does this work?
It's the most genius thing ever.
I'm very jealous. They let me come once.
Oh, wow. Which one did you come for?
Wasn't it the cookbook club? It was like probably 8 years ago.
Okay.
I came to something at your
old apartment. I know, I believe you. I just have a terrible memory.
I think it was the cookbook club. I came to something at your old apartment and I think it was the cookbook club, but anyway, sorry. I apologize. I did not mean to interrupt.
No. I'm going to try and remember which cookbook we were cooking when you came. Because what happened was my friends and I first cooked our way through the oeuvre of Lori Colvin, who's one of my favorite food writers.
I don't even know who this is.
Oh, okay. You have a treat in store.
Lori Colvin?
Lori Colvin.
Colvin. Okay.
She was actually a novelist. And then she wrote a couple of books of sort of like food essays.
Ooh.
With recipes. And the recipes are... It's hard to describe them. They're sort of like charmingly whack.
Okay.
Like some of them are amazing. And then some of them are like fermented black bean and eggplant situation.
Yum.
It's the kind of stuff that like you would never really think to write down a recipe for because it's like the weird stuff that you make for yourself when you're alone.
Right. And you're just like digging through, finding things.
But it's so satisfying. Like she talks about the feeling of like buying a whole bag of peppers when you have a craving for them and just like eating them all on the way home from the grocery store.
So does your cookbook club, does everybody buy the cookbook and then you all cook recipes from it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we get it from the library.
Okay. Okay.
But we don't feel like committing, but yeah, we all cook, we all, you know, there's a long, long email chain involved. We decide in advance what dishes we're going to cook all from the same cookbook. And then it comes together into a really good potluck dinner party.
How many people are in your cookbook club?
Just four.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, someone does a main, someone does a salad, someone does another side, and someone does dessert, basically. And or an hors d'oeuvre or whatever. Like the last one we did was Six Seasons, and I made a very labor-intensive artichoke dip that, in retrospect, would have been fine if I'd used frozen artichokes. I just did like, you know, it's like 3 hours of artichoke butchering, which I guess could have been meditative. Also like, I think the thing we're finding after like 8 years of cookbook club is cookbooks that are all about fresh seasonal ingredients. Like we live in New York, you know?
Yeah.
Even the stuff that comes to us from like New Jersey and upstate in the summer is like, it's fine.
Right.
You can really taste the terroir of the potatoes that come from the North Fork of Long Island.
Oh my gosh. You know? Now, I have done this a similar thing only a handful of times with a group of women that I'm friends with here in LA. But I have such performance anxiety about cooking that it makes me, I'm terrified that I'm going to bring the thing that's disgusting. Has that happened with you guys, or is it a safe space?
Part of what we're doing, though, is like, yeah, we're testing the cookbooks.
Okay. Mm.
Like we try to really follow the instructions to the letter. So if we fail, if the things are gross, like that's a win because we're like, we have found that this vaunted cookbook has some really flawed recipes in it. And you would be surprised. I mean, a lot of cookbooks have bad recipe testing. Mm. I can name names, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just name one name.
Oh my God. The first one that springs to my mind actually is a cookbook that I love, that I totally recommend, and I'm sure this has been fixed in, you know, future printings of the book, but Julia Tertian's book, Small Victories, has a recipe for blood orange granita in it that was so weird.
Oh, and I've heard of this cookbook.
Like, because it was like basically just some frozen orange juice with like whipped cream on it.
That sounds like something out of my like this wonderful cookbook my mother-in-law gave me from her church. Yeah. It's all like really, it's from the South. And so a lot of it is like interesting processed food recipes.
That's like Sandra Lee's whole vibe.
Yeah. Which I have to tell you, a lot of these recipes are amazing. Southern women know what's up.
Oh yeah.
But
those community, those spiral bound community. Yep. Yes, that's what this is. Winners in them.
Yeah.
Like Ruth has one from where she grew up in the Midwest that is like the police department put out. and it's called Cuff 'em and Stuff 'em. Has some good casseroles in there. Anyway, it's a fun way to sort of like try new recipes. You don't worry about failure. The only time we've worried about failure, like sometimes we've really choked, and it's always been when we've occasionally we've made the mistake of inviting the cookbook author to come and dine with us.
Oh my God, I would fucking die.
Yeah, wow. We almost did die actually when Amanda Hesser came, not from food poisoning, but we were so nervous that we got really, really drunk. And then she brought a bottle of Armagnac.
I don't know what that is.
It's actually a wonderful sort of, you know, liqueur, after dinner, right? Yeah. Liqueur. Okay. Like, I think it's an apple brandy. Mm-hmm. Might be wrong about that, but I don't remember the details of this evening very clearly. Anyway, yeah, we were all like destroyed and everything we cooked was disgusting. Like the salad had grit in it. The duck was undercooked. The rice was raw. The cake was raw in the middle. Like everything was just bad and wrong, and it wasn't her fault, it wasn't the recipe's fault.
Oh, it was just stressful.
We were just, she makes me nervous.
That's terrifying.
She's very, I can't, she's sort of like a Martha Stewart of our generation.
Totally.
I don't know,
you had her over.
You're naming, I don't know anything about these cookbook people. I literally, if you said Mark Bittman, I'd be like, okay, and that's the limit, that's as far as I go.
Oh, I'm kind of, I guess I'm kind of a nerd of this stuff, actually.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, you are. In a wonderful, great way.
It's one of my areas of nerdery.
Yeah. So you two actually also have another thing in common, which is that you are both trained yoga teachers.
That's true. I know when you were talking
Isn't
about
non-attachment.
I am not. I'm not a yoga teacher.
But live out of New York for like 2 more years and get back to me on that.
LA is like the epicenter of people becoming yoga teachers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh. Like you, it will come for you.
Oh, I see what you're
Either
saying.
Either that or you'll like learn how to do Reiki or something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's like that
you read
movie.
Tarot, right?
Yeah, you do. It's like It Happens, where that you're running away from the thing and it eventually catches you, that horror movie.
Oh,
that's what new age spiritual practices are.
Yeah,
it'll get you.
All right.
I just got back into tarot in a big way, actually. Mm. I have a new deck. I'm really excited about it.
Well, was that the last time you were in LA when you were in my old apartment?
No, I have to have been here since then. Except maybe not, because I like had a child, my life stopped. So yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, so you came to visit right before A Friendship came out. And I remember you brought me a tarot deck.
The Wild Unknown.
Yes, you brought me the Wild Unknown as like a, I don't know, like a hostess gift, I suppose.
Like a You Live in LA Now gift.
Yeah. And you were like, okay, you should read a card every day. Like you gave me that assignment. And I did. And then like 3 weeks later, I met Matt.
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Were the cards telling you that it was in the works?
They actually were.
Yeah. Like, I think you did an actual reading.
Yeah.
And it was like a very auspicious reading. And we were both like, whoa, this is auspicious.
She drew the King of Pentacles, which I think, She drew the Emperor of Pentacles. I think.
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember what the cards were.
It was something. It was like, you're going to meet a dude, basically. Yeah. You're going to meet a dude who's got it going on.
I love that card.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a great card. So I love the, I love that deck, and I bring it to Palm Springs every year.
That's your deck that you've taught, that Matt got into.
That now Matt is really into doing a yearly tarot reading for the year ahead, and he takes it very seriously.
I love it.
Can I ask, I bought a deck of tarot. So I always thought tarot, and I'm a person who believes everything, and I thought tarot seemed kind of silly. And then my best friend and I, she had a reading at Spellbound Sky, which is a crystal store here in LA. I know how this all sounds, listeners.
Go on.
But this is this is the world I'm in. And her reading was so spot on that I wept. It was unreal. And so then I bought a deck, but now I don't know kind of how to learn. Is the way, like if you were advising someone who was like, what is tarot? What would you tell them? What deck would you tell them to buy? And what would be like the first practice with a tarot deck?
I love Michelle T's recent-ish book about tarot so much. Have you read Michelle T?
Michelle T lives here in LA.
Maybe we could get Michelle T on the podcast.
I think we should, actually.
You must.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Again, don't know Michelle T, don't know Amanda Hesser. I've got a long list of research from this episode.
And wow, it's hard to think of two more different people.
But they wrote a book about Tara with a deck. Does it come with a deck?
Michelle T, she did not make a tarot deck to go with this book, although it does have illustrations of every card. And she does a little memoiristic essay to go with every card.
Ooh.
And also a spell or spells that to go with every card to either like continue the power of that card, or if it's like a card to get rid of the power of that card. Super cool.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's a really easy way to learn.
Okay.
What is the name of her book?
I'm blanking on it, but it's like Michelle T's tarot book.
Yeah. We'll link to it on the website.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, good. Thank you for that tip, because I don't know what I'm doing with tarot. It feels kind of daunting.
Yeah, I think the thing I told Dory about pulling a card a day and then you'd like slowly become familiar with the deck, except for what you might notice happening, and you should write this down, you should keep a little diary of it, is like you will end up drawing the same cards over and over again.
Whoa. Like, and Dory is nodding.
Yeah.
She's affirming.
I'm a believer in the power of the tarot.
Okay. Okay.
It's also good for writers, I think, or any kind of creative person who, if you're sort of trying to enhance your ability to make connections that aren't overt in your mind, like if you're trying to improve your sort of symbolic thinking, because it's just all about symbols and metaphors. So regardless of whether you buy into any of the soothsaying woo-woo aspects of it, it's just an interesting sort of like alternative way of explaining what's going on.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. I'm on board.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Kate, you know I've been getting into like the spring cleaning vibe.
Yeah, you have really been kind of doing a refresh, if you will.
I've been trying, but I gotta say, it's a lot more fun when you also get to do a little space refresh. So I'm talking like moving furniture around, maybe get a new piece here or there, swap out the blankets. Like I'm almost ready for my cotton blanket instead of my wool blanket.
Yes, the seasons are changing and so is your home.
Exactly. And with Jenny Kane's Elevated Home Essentials, I can get exactly what I need to create the kind of place I frankly never want to leave. Jenny Kane Home is a California brand through and through, and their interior pieces are instant classics. From their candle scents, I don't have to tell you how much I love the musk candle, and Kate, of course, is partial to the Montecito candle.
Always and forever.
Yeah. To their iconic furniture and the coziest pillows,
Think clean, effortless, and totally refined. Jenny Kane Home is all about the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a space that never goes out of style and always feels fresh as spring. Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code F35 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JENNIKAYNE.com, promo code F35.
So Emily, you are also finishing, you're finishing up your new novel.
Yes, I am.
Yes. and can you tell us a little bit about how your writing practice changed once you had kids, or once you had a kid?
Yeah.
And how you're kind of managing that?
We were so dumb. When I was pregnant with Rafi, my husband and I are both writers, and I think we just had no idea what having a child would entail, and neither of us at that point had like a day job. I mean, we both had jobs, but we were both in sort of like purely freelance mode at that time in what seems like a long time ago in our lives, which was obviously actually, you know, about 4 years ago. And we sort of thought like, oh, we'll do what Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes did and just like split up the day. You know, one of us takes him in the afternoon, one of us takes him in the morning. That, you know, it didn't really work out very well for them.
Yeah, those were tough role models.
So, I'm not sure why we thought it would go any differently for us. Anyway, as I anticipate the birth of my second child, I'm like, what is our exact plan for childcare? How much of it can we afford? What can we sell?
Well, now Keith is working.
Yeah, now we both, I have a bunch of different gigs all the time. And Keith has like the realest job ever. He's a professor at Columbia, and he has to go to all kinds of like meetings about procurement or whatever, you know, like it's very, yeah. And we both still do all of the, you know, novelisting that we ever did, but it feels more like a fun indulgence than like this bad thing that you have to procrastinate against. So that's good, I guess.
The childcare thing and affording childcare and feeling like you need to sell a limb to afford it is really tough. There's no real, it's really hard figuring out how to juggle your work, your kids' lives, their schedule, and then also like getting enough care so that you can get your work done.
And also do life
right
in any way. Yeah. Like I have friends of friends who the husband is American, the wife is Swedish, and they have a kid who's around Rafi's age, and they recently moved back to her native Sweden because, like, why would you not?
Right. Yeah. They have it right there.
They are going to put that child in an excellent, close by, state run daycare that is going to cost them, you know, some fee that's adjusted for their income. So probably like $100 or $200 a month.
Oh, boy.
Which is like as high as it gets.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Okay. Maybe less, actually. They're you know, artists. Yeah. So.
So how do you also fit in self-care?
Yeah. How do you wash your face?
Oh,
also we should say Emily's skin looks amazing.
Literally, I said it looked like a baby's butt.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. It's a combination of good genes and literal good genes.
Good genes are good genes.
Yeah.
It's dewy.
Yeah, you're glowy.
Yeah.
I think the only time I've had bad skin in my life was like after I went off hormonal birth control, and then I just had like one really bad cyst exit that didn't go away for a year. It was probably around the time it was like about a year after we met. It was like when I was quitting Gawker and everything was going wrong in my life.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably
sounds like
quitting hormonal birth control and...
Yeah, that's when you're going to get a giant zit in the exact center of your face that takes forever to go away.
For sure.
I look at photos of that time and I'm like, yep. My whole life is just, that's it.
But isn't it amazing though how the elements of stress and whatever else is going on in your life can just rocket out through your face? Mm-hmm. I mean, your skin is very telling about what you're experiencing
in other parts of your life.
This is also going to be like a thing that no one likes to hear, but after I was diagnosed with celiac and I stopped eating gluten, my skin got a lot better. Sorry. That's probably only true if you have an autoimmune condition, though. I don't actually recommend that people quit eating gluten recreationally because gluten is delicious and in everything good.
So self-care.
Oh, sorry, guys. I forgot that that's what the podcast was about. No. Yeah. I have to say, over the past few months listening to your podcast, I've really stepped up my game in a lot of ways.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't used to use any actives.
Oh, sure.
So
oh.
I have incorporated alternating the Good Genes and the Pixi Glow cleanser into my routine.
Pixi Glow.
Yeah. It's, I used to only use this, really thick kind of waxy Dr. Hauschka moisturizer that's like pretty heavy. And I phased that out in favor of like some lighter stuff. But I was real loyal to that Dr. Hauschka product. I used it probably from when I was like 20 on.
Was it the rose?
Yeah.
The rose cream?
It's good stuff, but yeah. It's probably good for like if it's winter and your skin is like chapped and windburned because like maybe you're a skier or something.
Did you consult with someone before you started, like before you bought Good Genes and Pixi Glow, or you were just like, I'm going to try this stuff and see how it works?
I think I got like, I got a facial for the first time in like several years. And then I was like, I'm going to keep this going. Cause the facialist was very like brusque and a little bit mean. And she was like, you have a lot of blackheads.
No, it was. I kind of love those facialists though. Like I love a somewhat mean facialist.
And she was right. Like I did have, I think I've always just had like, you know, like those ones that are really hard to get rid of on like the sides of your nose.
Yeah, the super hurdy ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're super teeny tiny and they're like really, really in there. Like, and it just kind of looks like, I remember when I was a teenager, once I was like sitting with my little brother in the backseat of the car and he was like looking at in like bright natural sunlight. And he looked at my nose really up close and he said, do you shave your nose? Because he thought it was like stubble.
Oh my God.
Oh no. He was just asking.
Yeah, that's an honest question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After I started using the like acids to exfoliate on a semi-regular basis, I haven't really had as many, like if I like squeezed the side of my little nose flap right now, I don't think any stuff would come out.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's a real game changer for my nose flaps.
Just to change subjects a tiny bit, one thing we were talking about when I saw you yesterday was the internet.
I did my moan.
Yeah. And you know, we met because we were both writing for Gawker. Like, we've both been writing on the internet for a long time, and I think both have a complicated relationship with the internet, but yours might be more complicated.
Well, we had complicated relationships with the internet before everyone else did, I think.
You guys like created the genre.
I mean, Emily really did.
That's true.
Yeah.
I did christen
it. Icon.
Yeah. But, you know, how has your relationship with the internet evolved? And when we're talking about self-care, like, do you find that the internet is part of your self-care, or does it impinge on your self-care, or is it a combination?
I mean, I think if I was going to, you know, that series that Slate has been doing where couples talk about our one fight.
Yes.
I think if I was going to do one of those with Keith, which I would never do because I'm not insane. it would be about my relationship with the internet. I mean, he says like put down your phone and interact with me on a very regular basis.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if I hate him at that moment, I'm like, why would I interact with you when I can interact with my fun friends who live in my phone? Like, so that's bad. And I have had like really successful, productive sort of like detoxes in the past, especially when working on fiction, which, you know, like it does require a kind of sustained attention that the internet is very, very good at destroying. I gotta say though, like, I would not trade the relationships that I have because of the internet.
Yeah.
And that the relationships that have been strengthened by the internet, like, even though I have really, really been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Have like not lowercase, like not a joke PTSD from mm-hmm. what happened to me in the, like, you know, that Gawker time. I still really love to be able to like if I'm visiting somewhere, like I visited Portland a few weeks ago and I just put an Instagram that was like, hey, I'm in town, get at me, you know, like the lazy shitty thing that people do. Right. But then, you know, I actually got to hang out with four of my awesome Portland internet pals.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And those relationships are real.
Totally.
I love being able to keep in touch with people who are far flung.
I love the internet. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, as we say all the time, like we met on Tumblr. Kate and I met on Tumblr.
Yeah.
And I know about Kate's writing from Tumblr too.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. I mean, I officiated my friend Joy's wedding and I met her on Tumblr. And now she's a real life friend.
Yeah.
Like really?
That,
yeah.
That shit is real.
It is real. It's just what you pay. What you pay and what you receive and figuring out.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been on Twitter in a month. I cheat. I cheat and I look at political people on Twitter, but I have not looked at my Twitter feed in a month. And there was a moment yesterday where I like almost begged because I had my husband go in and change my password so I can't get on.
A pro move.
It's pro move, but I almost like begged for it back the other day. I forget what I wanted. See, it's irrelevant. I forget what I wanted to like be a part of. But it feels, it's like it's an addiction.
It is an addiction.
Yeah, it's fully an addiction.
Yeah. And it's very hard to break it.
Well, I mean, I know you guys already talked about this a little bit, but the addiction that it's most like is maybe a little bit more like eating problems, like being addicted, because you can't, it's very, very difficult to live any kind of professional existence and abstain from the internet entirely. Yes. I'm not going to say that we need it to survive in the way that we need food, but it would be really hard for any of us to completely go cold turkey
from everything.
Then you see these moments of where it's awesome.
I know.
And you make actual human connections
I know.
And you're like, oh, I guess this is worth it. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but.
Well, everything. I mean, very trite and yoga teacher-y thing to say, but everything has its good and bad aspects, like inextricably entangled within it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you are a good yoga teacher.
Oh, I was, well, I now aspire to be a yoga student and not really a teacher. I like teaching teenagers though. That was cool. Fun. Teenagers are just great. I know.
Really?
I'm
intimidated by them.
No, I taught a class called Teens and Tweens. So that was 8 to 13 year olds. So that's a great age actually.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Emily, this was a pleasure.
It was.
Pleasure's all mine, guys.
Oh, thank you.
It's an honor.
Thank you. I love Emily. I mean, I've known her for a million years, but she's the best. Also, I loved that. I don't know if you saw this. Someone in our Facebook group recently was like, when are you having Emily Gould on? And I was like,
it's happening.
Literally like the next episode. So I hope you all enjoyed that. Kate, let's talk about, I know we were talking about 2 month intenshis.
But how about 1 week intenshis?
1 week intenshis. Last week you said you were going to not overpack. How is that going?
Well, I bought myself packing cubes.
Oh,
now yes. This tip came to me from previous podcast guest Jasmine Guillory. Mm-hmm. Her Instagram is always packed with helpful tips, I have to say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Her Instagram stories. Plus, she's still doing her yoga challenge.
She's amazing.
Almost at 200 days.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Every day I like wait in anticipation to make sure the yoga challenge is still going on. Not that it needs to go on forever, but it's just like my entertainment. Anyway, Dory, I bought packing cubes that I think are really going to help me. I have my suitcase in my house right now. I'm currently packing because I leave this weekend.
Yeah.
And I have certain clothes I'm going to wear. I have outfits planned out so that I can like... so that I can go with one pair of shorts and two tops, and the tops can also work with my jeans.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I kind of tried to think about this strategically rather than what I normally do, which is pack like I'm going to need everything in my closet.
Great.
And the packing cubes keep things separate. And I think they also help to keep things compact in your suitcase.
Totally.
So I will update you when I'm back about how it goes.
But
I'm trying not to stress about it and stay calm and cool.
Okay. Last week, my intention was just birthday.
And I feel like you owned it.
I think I owned it. It went great. I had a great birthday.
Did it go better than you thought it would? Like, did you kind of set yourself up for feeling like it might be
Yes. And then I did.
That's awesome. I'm glad you made it.
I gave Matt a lot of positive reinforcement about his role in my birthday.
He did an awesome job as a partner.
He really did.
We haven't talked about love language on this podcast, but one day it'll come up. But depending on like what kind of reinforces you and fills you, sometimes actions.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Kate. And I know a lot of people think love languages are bullshit. I am not one of those people. I think they are not bullshit.
No, I actually think it's amazing.
But my birthday managed to hit both of our love languages because his is acts of service and mine is quality time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So we spent the day and evening together, but he was like doing things for me.
Uh-huh,
which satisfied him. And I mean, obviously satisfied me as well. But for me, it was more about the quality time that I got to spend
with him. That's so cool. Yeah. We should talk about that more in another episode.
Yeah, let's do that.
So this week, what is your intention?
This week, my intention is to play piano every day.
Well, you've already have hit it. You're almost halfway there.
Yeah. So, you know, I like to set manageable intentions.
Yeah, but that seems like it's really enjoyable for you as well.
It is. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. And my intention is not like, I'm going to master like five songs. It's just, I'm going to play piano every day.
You're not going to form a band with your husband, which is my dream.
No, but he did come into my office the other night as I was playing Sam Cooke and started playing along with the guitar.
It
was very sweet.
That's really cool. I feel like this could introduce a whole new different element of your relationship.
I agree. In my love language.
Quality time.
What's your intention this week?
So I was going to set myself up with a little challenge. I was going to stretch out my legs for a minute a day. Just bend over and touch my toes and just let my kind of hamstrings and calves stretch. That's it. They're tight. I find that when my legs are tight, the rest of my body feels crummy. And I just thought, what if instead of trying to do 20 minutes of yoga a day, what if I just
touched my hands to my toes
for a minute?
Because I have been told to do this.
Okay.
This very thing.
Really? Have you ever done it?
No.
Well.
And it's a minute. It's like such a short amount of time.
A minute feels like forever.
Totally. When you're hanging down. Anyway, I love this.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, this was a joy as always.
A treasure.
Great to see you.
Great to see you. And now it is time to say goodbye.
Yes.
So listen, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Kate Spencer, and
you,
Dori Shafrir, and produced. I do that every time.
You do. We should just say produced.
It's produced and edited by Sammy Junio. You are always welcome to leave us Apple Podcast reviews because it really helps people find the show.
Yeah. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.